Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. As fucking life would have it, it's been a really gnarly week. My baby boy has been really, really sick with a really high fever, and it's been frightening as fuck. And we, even took him to hospital because he'd vomited and his fever was like well over 39 degrees. And yeah, it's just been fucking shit. I'm on my own with him largely. Like, my ex did come to hospital with me, but yeah, it's been tough, like nursing him every day on my own. And he's, you know, desperately been clinging to me, bless him, because he feels so unwell. So I had this fantasy of promoting the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course and coming on every day and doing an episode about the Soothing Survival series and the different nervous system states. And then I was going to do a series about nerve tonics, and it just didn't happen. I find it's weird, like something gnarly always happens in this like promotion period. And it's almost like I'm just like viscerally reminded again about like why this course is so fucking important, because life is life and you're constantly dealing with challenges sometimes. And, you know, like recording an episode about the fight response and then getting a message from the nursery being like, he's got a 39 degree fever and he's vomiting, like you need to collect him right now. And just feeling that instantaneous like surge of adrenaline. It's very interesting, like how, yeah, you get those reminders. And obviously I live in a fucking privileged state that I'm not in that response like every single day, like loads of people are who are surviving really hardcore situations. And if you haven't listened to the introduction to the series, please go back and listen to that, because I talk about the necessity of these nervous system responses and that they aren't a binary. There isn't like a good and bad one. It's just, yeah, like we've evolved for survival and they're like extremely useful. And this was quite a good example of me needing to be in a fight response where I was activated and able to sustain my energy long into the night because of the adrenaline in terms of taking care of my baby in hospital. So yeah, anyway, it's been grim, but I'm going to, just kind of dive into this part of the episode this soothing survival state. So the second one, I've already talked about the flight response, and now I'm going to talk about the fight state. And obviously these are very similar, and you know, they're like not like, it's not like you can just have one state and then you flick to another one, like they're obviously super connected. The survival strategy is obviously being able to fight physically and protect ourselves and defend ourselves. So I made a little joke in the last episode about the guy in the scream mask running at the person, and she runs away, right? Of course she runs into the fucking basement, but that makes good TV. But the instinct is to run away from danger. You know, you see a bear or a shark, that's what you're going to do. But when you're unable to flee, we commonly kick into the fight response. This is when our body is like mobilizing energy to defend and protect ourselves, which can be extremely fucking life-saving. But as I mentioned in the introduction, like these states are challenging when we're not actually in that hardcore survival mode and when they kind of become stuck. So like a stuck fight response can look like sort of regular feelings of anger and irritation and tension and aggression, maybe even rage. And the world can feel basically dangerous and threatening, and it feels like the world is demanding of a fight. You might notice like embodied habits such as feeling attacked by others, even if that wasn't their intention. And, you know, you might perceive someone who is potentially actually not threatening you, but you might feel that they're very threatening because you are in this activated state. There might be like a tendency to kind of generate conflict or escalate conflict. And there's often this sensation of finding like the smallest thing like incredibly stressful. People often express this state like and this anger through objects like slamming doors, you know, banging things, like punching
punching doors or walls or whatever. And yeah, unfortunately, this state really correlates with a lot of like patterns of abuse. And when someone is in this state regularly, it can feel very frightening and unacceptable to other people. And I think it's worth naming that, like, and it's a whole other podcast episode around differentiating what is just kind of trauma and emotional dysregulation and someone, you know, kind of not being in control, so to speak, of those nervous system responses. And then what is someone being kind of like skillfully and purposefully abusive? And then what is just the impact of someone's nervous system state, like when someone is in the fight response? Okay, it might be something that is actually autonomic. It's not that they're in control of that necessarily, but that doesn't mean it's not going to have an impact on the people around them. And I mentioned in the last episode of the flight response that people socialized as female or women are like commonly, often it's like socially acceptable to go into a flight response where you burst into tears, for example, when you feel threatened. And I think for people socialized as men, unfortunately, because of kind of toxic masculinity and patriarchy, the kind of default socially acceptable nervous system state is anger, right? Like there's a lot of rage and anger, and yeah, that becomes the kind of like normative baseline for someone experiencing distress, is to be angry at everyone and everything. And if you've grown up with men in that state, you'll know it's fucking horrible, and is traumatic for people. So yeah, it's a real challenge. But I can also see how this nervous system state is often very kind of like criminalized and very taboo. And it's very unfortunate if someone has been like socialized in that way and then experiences trauma, and then, you know, they get into fights and that lands them in prison, and then they get into fights with prison officers and that lands them in solitary confinement. And it's like they might not have had the nervous system tools growing up to navigate overwhelming emotions or shift themselves out of a fight state. So yeah, I think it's very challenging. And I think the fight state is like, yeah, one of the kind of more difficult nervous system states. And I think for me on a personal level, it's definitely more of my default. And yeah, just my poor ex, when we took our baby to hospital, I just was at him. Like I was just down his throat about everything. Like he couldn't do anything right. And I was obviously in a real fight flight response like the whole day, thinking my baby's really sick. And it was really re-triggering of when we were in hospital with him before for a week and my labor and all the things. But you know, I obviously apologized to Rob, being like, I'm fucking sorry. Like I've just been horrible today. And you know, like it takes some skill and nuance to know that you've been like that and to be accountable for it and to try and like access a more safe and social state. But yeah, I think it's very, very challenging to move through it, but there are definitely like tools in the toolbox that can help. So yeah, like, you know, some of the practices, again, it's like, I know it's not possible for everyone to embrace like all forms of movement, but I think channeling that energy into movement is really good. For example, even just like hitting a pillow or running or dancing, or you know, like pouring energy into a kind of like creative expression, whether that's like singing really loudly or emceeing or drumming. Like, you know, like I grew up in the hardcore scene, and I think it was just like a bunch of angry teenagers who are just like full of fucking fight flight energy, and a show was like a safe space to just like express that through people fucking dancing and kicking off and moshing or whatever and stage diving and doing all the things. But that was like such a healthy way that we could move like through those feelings, if that makes sense. And yeah, you know, and then obviously kind of similar to the flight response, like, you know, the goal is prevention, right? Of not getting into this state. And we can do that with steadying ourselves with whatever practices feel helpful, you know, whether that's connecting with the land or animals or being supported by someone feels steady, someone who feels steady to us. It's worth saying, like, when someone is in a kind of like hyperactivated flight or fight response, like, you have a different kind of like a different sensation of how close people are to you. And like people think, oh, do you need a hug? But actually most people in this nervous system state really need fucking space. And I talk about this in the Herbalism PTSD Traumatic Stress course, which is why, like, when there's like a volatile situation, for example, with the police, and they put their hands on you, that's when people often just like bang, kick off. And that's because, yeah, your kind of sensation of space and like physical autonomy is really important. And they say even now with like a toddler, for example, who's distressed, they might not actually want that cuddle because they just need to actually flail their arms around and run around and cry. And then when they're ready, you give them that little cutch, you know? So yeah, I think it's super interesting. But yeah, there's so much more to say about that. But I do, you know, I wax lyrical about it plenty in the course. But the herb that I have associated with this state is lemon balm. So a little bit like motherwort, lemon balm is like very fast acting. So it can help us shift into a more like calm parasympathetic state. And the volatile oils like act directly on the limbic system, which is like the part of the brain that governs like emotion and behavior. And, you know, and that makes it really helpful for tension and irritation and stress. And it's so interesting, like, because when I got after I'd picked up the baby from the nursery and was waiting for the call back from the doctor before we went to hospital, like, it would literally, I grabbed the lemon balm from the cupboard because I could feel the adrenaline in my blood. And not that I didn't need to be in that state, but I was like too activated. Does that make sense? I was too distressed. I wasn't making good decisions. I was doing everything too quickly. I wasn't tuning in to my baby's needs because I was so activated. And so I took a giant fucking swig of lemon balm glycerite and calmed the fuck down and breathed, and then started making better decisions, packing the hospital bag, doing the things that kind of like need that like prefrontal cortex, like organization energy. Does that make sense? So I'll talk a little bit more about lemon balm. So yeah, so lemon balm is cooling, which is, you know, makes it perfect for when we're like in this kind of hot, inflamed, activated state. It's also got like such a lush affinity with the gut. And I think so many people just experience stress straight in their gut, you know, and they have like bad flare-ups of health challenges, like through any emotional stress. And, you know, like this kind of gut-brain axis, it's just so fucking powerful. And we're only like 1% into the research of how connected this all is. But yeah, lemon balm can definitely help with that kind of like chronic activation and chronic inflammation as much as it can in this kind of like acute, like hyper stressful situation. And I feel like lemon balm is like one of these kind of like joy herbs, a bit like St. John's wort, where just like is uplifting. And I think when someone is in a fight response for too long, you just get a bit fucking battle fatigue. Do you know what I mean? It's just like the, like, people just fucking hate the world, hate everyone, think everyone is out to get them, that there's nothing good, like there's no way out. And, you know, I see this a lot for people who've left prison, because when you're in prison, you're like constantly in fight or flight generally. Like sometimes you might relax when you're locked in, but yeah, like people can get really stuck in this state of just feeling constantly threatened. And I think lemon balm is just this like nice reminder that like there is a possibility to kind of rest and to play. And it's like quite enhancing to the mood. And yeah, I think it's very indicated for people in that state. And, you know, it has all these other like amazing antiviral properties and stuff. And the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course like goes into these plants in like so much more detail, like comprehensive plant profiles. So I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to shamelessly plug again that the course is open for enrollment until Monday, the 13th of October. If you're listening to this in the future, you can go to the waiting list. It opens every March and September each year. That's the system at the moment, at least. So yeah, please sign up if you're interested. And yeah, thanks for listening. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.